All right, so are you ready to dive deep into causality?
Yeah, but the twist.
Yeah, but the twist, yeah.
You guys have sent over some really interesting research,
mm-hmm.
especially those excerpts from that 2024
right.
Journal of Business Research article.
A different causal perspective.
A different causal perspective.
With necessary condition analysis.
With necessary condition analysis by John Doolittle.
By John Doolittle.
And let me tell you, this isn't your typical
right.
cause and effect exploration.
Yeah, no. It's really going beyond just kind of the simple what makes things happen.
Yeah, yeah.
We're looking for those non-negotiables.
Right.
The must-haves, the things that without which the effect just wouldn't exist.
Right. So instead of just looking at what contributes to an outcome, we're trying to pinpoint what's absolutely essential for it to occur in the first place.
Exactly.
Almost like finding that bottleneck
mm-hmm.
that once removed allows everything else to flow smoothly. Yeah. You're thinking about it exactly right.
Okay.
And to really grasp this, I think we need to kind of rewind a bit back to the 18th century and the work of philosopher David Hume. He really kind of laid the groundwork for how we think about cause and effect even today.
Okay. So back to philosophy class.
A little bit. Yeah.
What did Hume have to say about causality
right.
that's relevant to our deep dive today?
Well, he actually gave us two key definitions,
okay.
sufficiency and necessity.
Right.
Sufficiency is the more common one, that classic if X, then Y
right.
relationship.
Yeah.
Like, if I water this plant, it'll probably grow.
Right.
It's about what actions or factors can lead to an outcome.
Right, the kind of cause and effect we usually think about.
Exactly.
But necessity flips that around, doesn't it?
It does. It says, if not X, then not Y. So without X, Y simply can't happen.
Okay.
Think, if there's no oxygen, there's no human life.
Right.
It's the essential ingredient.
Okay.
No exceptions.
So sufficiency tells us
right.
what might help something occur, while necessity tells us what must be there
yeah.
for it to happen at all.
Right.
And from what I'm gathering,
yeah.
we often overlook necessity.
Yes.
Even though it can be incredibly insightful.
It can be very powerful. And that's precisely where necessary condition analysis,
right.
or NCA for short,
okay.
steps in. It really shines a spotlight
okay.
on those crucial must-haves, which a lot of other methods often miss.
Okay, so let's say I'm, you know, just a regular person trying to wrap my head around this.
Sure.
Could you give me a real-world scenario where
yeah.
NCA would be really helpful?
Yeah. Imagine you're launching a new product.
Is it okay?
And, you know, it's just not gaining traction in the market.
Right.
You've done your market research.
Yeah.
You've got a solid marketing plan.
Mm-hmm.
But something's still missing.
Right.
NCA can help uncover that missing ingredient.
Okay.
That one essential factor
yeah.
that's holding you back.
Okay.
Maybe it's a certain level of brand awareness.
Hmm.
Maybe it's a specific feature
right.
that consumers really demand, or even a particular distribution channel.
Okay.
Whatever it is, NCA can help you pinpoint it.
So it's like having this detective tool
mm-hmm.
that helps you identify the root cause, the linchpin
yeah.
that makes everything else fall into place.
You got it.
That's pretty powerful.
It can be.
But from what I'm reading,
yeah.
there's more than one type of necessity, right?
You're right. There's actually two main approaches.
Okay.
Deterministic and typicality.
Okay.
With deterministic necessity, there are no exceptions.
Okay.
If the necessary condition is absent,
yeah.
the effect never happens.
Okay.
Think oxygen and human life.
Right.
You can't have one without the other.
Right.
Period.
Okay. That's pretty straightforward.
Mm-hmm.
But what about those situations where there might be a few rare exceptions? That's where typicality comes in, right?
That's exactly right. Typicality acknowledges that
yeah.
while a condition might be essential in most cases,
right.
there might be outliers.
Yeah. yeah.
And the paper gives this great example of smoking and lung cancer.
Okay.
In their research, they found that 99.7% of lung cancer patients
yeah.
were smokers.
That's huge.
That's a strong indication that smoking is at least typically necessary for lung cancer.
Right.
Even though there might be a tiny, tiny percentage of cases where it wasn't a factor.
So it's not about saying
yeah.
there are never exceptions.
Right.
But rather recognizing that the condition is essential in almost all cases.
That's a good way to put it.
And the choice of which approach to use
yeah.
deterministic or typicality
yeah.
depends on the research question.
Exactly.
In the context, right.
Absolutely. And NCA provides a framework to explore both types of necessity. Well, which is part of what makes it so valuable.
Yeah.
But beyond just kind of defining terms, let's talk about why this even matters.
Yeah, that's a great point.
Yeah. Why should someone tuning in care about necessity causality? What's the practical value here?
Yeah, it's cool to dive deep into these concepts, but if it doesn't connect back to our lives, it's just mental gymnastics.
Right.
So what's the so what of understanding these must-haves?
I think the beauty of necessity causality is that it gives us a proactive lens for problem solving.
Okay.
Instead of just reacting to issues as they pop up, we can anticipate them and potentially avoid them altogether by ensuring those essential conditions are met.
Okay, I'm starting to see the practical side of this.
Yeah.
So instead of just putting out fires, we can prevent them from starting in the first place.
That's the goal.
But how does this work in practice?
Yeah.
Could you walk me through an example where understanding necessity causality helps someone achieve a specific goal?
Absolutely, yeah. Let's say you're a manager trying to boost team productivity.
Right.
You've tried all the usual tactics.
Yeah.
Clean building exercises, flexible schedules, even offering bonuses.
Right.
But nothing seems to be moving the needle significantly.
Right.
NCA could help you pinpoint that essential condition that's missing.
Okay.
Maybe it's not about the perks or the schedules, but rather a lack of clear communication channels or a sense of ownership over projects.
Right.
By identifying this must-have, you can then focus your efforts on, let's say, establishing clear communication protocols or restructuring projects to give team members more autonomy.
So instead of throwing spaghetti at the wall and hoping something sticks, we're using NCA to identify the key ingredient that's been missing all along. And that makes our efforts much more targeted and effective.
It does.
I'm already seeing how this can apply to so many areas of life.
Oh, yeah.
From personal goals to business strategies.
For sure.
But before we get too far ahead of ourselves, I want to make sure we understand how NCA actually works.
Right.
How do we go from a concept to identifying those crucial necessities?
Well, at its core, NCA relies on visual analysis.
Okay.
Specifically using scatter plots.
Okay.
But what makes it unique is that instead of focusing on the average trend, it zeroes in on what's called the ceiling line.
A ceiling line.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that sounds intriguing.
Yeah.
What exactly is that? And how does it relate to finding those essential conditions?
So imagine you have a scatter plot where the x-axis represents a potential necessary condition.
Okay.
Let's say hours of deliberate practice.
Right.
And the axis is the skill level achieved, maybe in playing the piano.
Okay.
What NCA does is it draws a line connecting the uppermost data points.
Right.
Those representing the highest skill level achieved at each level of practice.
Okay.
This is the ceiling line.
Right.
And the key insight here is that there's often an empty space or a ceiling zone above this line.
Wait, so we're looking at the blank space on the graph.
Yes.
That's where the magic happens.
That's where the insights are.
Okay.
That empty space or ceiling zone is a visual representation of the necessity relationship.
Okay.
It tells us that to reach a certain level of skill, a minimum amount of practice is absolutely necessary. It's like an invisible wall preventing those with less practice from reaching those higher levels of skill.
Okay. Now that's starting to click.
Good.
So we're looking for that empty space.
Right.
That zone where the outcome simply doesn't exist without a sufficient level of the condition. And the larger that empty space, the stronger the necessity. Right?
Exactly. It's like a visual measure of how essential that condition is.
Yeah.
But it's not just about eyeballing the graph.
Okay.
NCA uses robust statistical tests to make sure those empty spaces are actually meaningful and not just random quirks in the data.
So it's a double check.
Exactly.
To make sure we're not getting fooled by randomness.
That's right.
I like that.
Yeah.
But we've covered a lot of ground already.
We have.
How about we take a quick pause here?
Okay.
And when we come back, we can dive deeper into some specific examples of NCA in action and how it's being used to refine existing theories.
Sounds good.
All right. I'm excited to dive back in.
Yeah.
You were just talking about how NCA uses scatter plots and this ceiling line to visually represent necessity.
Mm-hmm.
But can we make this more concrete?
Yeah, for sure.
Do you have a real world example?
Yeah.
where looking at this ceiling line revealed something surprising or insightful.
Absolutely. Remember we talked about the ability, motivation, opportunity model earlier?
Yeah.
It's often used in work psychology to explain performance.
Mm-hmm.
Well, a study applied NCA to this model
and
looked at the relationship between employee training as a proxy for ability and their job performance.
Okay.
And what the scatter plot showed was that below a certain threshold of training, no matter how high the motivation or opportunity, performance simply didn't reach those highest levels.
Interesting.
And that empty space above the ceiling line was a big aha moment because it highlighted that a certain level of skill was absolutely essential for top performance, regardless of these other factors.
Wow, that really brings it to life. So in that case, just focusing on motivation or opportunities wouldn't have been enough.
It wouldn't have.
You have breasts.
You had to have that baseline.
Yeah, that fundamental skill gap first.
That foundation.
Yeah, it's like trying to build a house on sand.
Yeah, exactly.
No matter how beautiful the design is.
Right.
It's not going to be stable without that solid foundation.
Exactly. And that's the power of NCA.
Right.
It helps us identify those foundational elements, those must-haves that need to be addressed before anything else can truly make a difference. It's like creating this checklist of non-negotiables for success.
And speaking of success,
you
mentioned earlier that NCA could even be used to re-examine something.
Mm-hmm.
As well established as Porter's Five Forces, which is all about competitive strategy.
Right.
How would that even work?
So Porter's Five Forces analyzes factors like
the
threat of new entrants, the bargaining power of buyers and suppliers, and so on. But it doesn't explicitly address which of these might be absolutely essential for a company to achieve a competitive advantage. NCA could help identify which of those forces are truly necessary conditions for success in a particular industry.
So instead of just considering all five forces equally, we might find that, say, in the tech industry, having a strong intellectual property protection is the non-negotiable for sustainable advantage.
Right, exactly.
Whereas in the retail sector,
it's
all about supply chain efficiency.
Exactly, yeah.
It helps us prioritize our strategic efforts.
You got it.
And that kind of insight can be incredibly valuable for businesses trying to navigate a complex competitive landscape.
For sure.
It allows them to focus their resources and energy where it'll have the greatest impact.
Absolutely. But the applications go far beyond just business strategy.
Right. From what I'm reading, NCA is being used in
all sorts of fields.
Yeah.
Psychology, education, public health.
Wow.
Even climate change research.
That's amazing.
Yeah. And that's what makes this field so exciting.
Yeah.
It's not just about identifying these bottlenecks.
Right.
It's about gaining a deeper understanding of the fundamental drivers of phenomena across these diverse disciplines.
Can you give us an example from a field outside of business?
Sure.
How about something from healthcare?
Okay.
I'm curious how necessity causality might apply there.
All right. Let's say researchers are studying the effectiveness of a new treatment for a chronic disease.
Okay.
They could use NCA to determine whether a certain level of patient adherence to the treatment regimen is a necessary condition for positive outcomes.
So it's not just about whether the drug itself works.
Right, exactly.
But also whether patients are actually taking it as prescribed.
You got it, yeah.
And if NCA reveals that adherence is a crucial must-have, then healthcare providers can focus their efforts on improving patient education and support systems.
Right.
To ensure that they're taking the medication correctly.
Exactly. It shifts the focus from simply treating the disease to understanding the conditions that are essential for that treatment to be effective.
It's like saying, okay, we have this amazing treatment, but it's only going to work if patients are actually using it properly.
Exactly.
It sounds obvious.
It does.
But it's easy to overlook.
Oh, absolutely.
Those basic but essential factors.
For sure.
And that's what NCA forces us to do.
It does.
To think critically
about
what's truly necessary.
Yeah.
Even if it seems obvious or intuitive.
Yeah. It can be a real eye-opener.
I think one of the things I'm finding most fascinating about NCA is that it goes beyond just identifying problems.
Right.
It's actually a tool for proactive problem solving.
Exactly.
It helps us anticipate potential issues
and
address them before they even arise.
Yeah. Imagine a world where instead of constantly reacting to crises, we could proactively identify and address the necessary conditions for success, whether it's in our personal lives, our organizations, or even on a global scale.
Right.
Think about tackling challenges like poverty or climate change.
Yeah.
Understanding the essential conditions for progress
could
completely change our approach to these issues.
It's a powerful shift in perspective.
Yeah, it is.
Instead
yeah.
of just fighting fires, we can start building fireproof structures.
Mm-hmm.
But before we get too carried away with all these potential applications, let's bring this back to our listener for a moment. How can someone who's not a researcher or a scientist use this knowledge in their everyday life?
Mm-hmm.
What's the takeaway message for them?
That's a great question. I think the key takeaway is to embrace a mindset of proactive causality.
Okay.
It's about taking ownership of outcomes by first identifying those must-haves and then focusing your efforts on ensuring those conditions are met.
So it's not just about working hard or being smart.
Right.
It's also about understanding what's absolutely essential for achieving a particular goal.
Right.
It's like being given a treasure map.
Yeah.
NCA helps us see where the real treasure is buried.
Mm-hmm.
So we're not just digging random holes.
Yeah. That's a good analogy.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Whether it's launching a business, improving your relationships, or even mastering a new skill, start by asking yourself, what are the non-negotiables?
Mm-hmm.
What absolutely must be in place for me to succeed?
Yeah.
Once you identify those essential conditions, you can then focus your efforts on ensuring they are met.
Right.
It's about working smarter.
Exactly.
Not just harder.
Yep.
Okay?
Mm-hmm.
I'm definitely feeling empowered to go out and start identifying those must-haves in my own life.
Yeah.
But before we wrap up,
okay,
I want to make sure we've covered all the key points.
Right.
We've talked about the history of necessity causality, the different types of necessity, how NCA works in practice, and some of its real world applications.
Right.
Is there anything else we need to touch on?
I think
before we sign off,
we've hit the essentials pretty well. I think we've highlighted the value of shifting from simply asking what makes things happen to understanding what must be present for something to occur.
And we've seen how this shift in perspective can have a profound impact on how we approach problem solving, decision making, and even our understanding of the world around us.
For sure.
Absolutely. And perhaps the most exciting thing about necessity causality,
I think so,
is that it's still a relatively young field.
Absolutely.
There's so much more to be discovered and explored.
There really is. Yeah.
So this is really just the tip of the iceberg.
Mm-hmm.
There's a whole world
of
must-haves out there
waiting
to be uncovered.
Exactly.
And as we wrap up this deep dive, what's one final thought you want to leave our listener with?
I think probably the most important thing to remember is that necessity causality isn't just an academic concept.
Right,
you know, it's a really powerful tool for understanding the world around us and for making more informed decisions in all aspects of our lives.
It's like we've been given a new lens for viewing reality.
Yeah.
One that highlights
those
crucial must-haves that often go unnoticed.
It's like seeing the world in a whole new way.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And by understanding those must-haves, we can move from a reactive approach to a proactive one.
Exactly.
We can start anticipating potential challenges and bottlenecks and proactively address them.
I like that. Proactively address them. Yeah.
So instead of just dealing with problems as they arise, we can start creating the conditions for success from the ground up.
Right.
It's like being an architect, designing a building.
Right.
We need to make sure the foundation is solid before we start adding all the fancy features.
Yeah. You need a strong foundation. Otherwise, the whole thing is going to crumble.
Yeah. That's a great way to put it. And it's something we can all do.
Yeah.
Regardless of our background or expertise.
Absolutely.
Think about a goal you're currently pursuing.
Right.
What's the one thing that absolutely must be in place
right.
for you to succeed.
Yeah. What's your non-negotiable?
It's like finding that linchpin, that one element.
Yeah.
That if it's missing, the whole endeavor falls apart.
The whole thing falls apart.
And once we identify that linchpin,
yeah.
we can focus our energy and resources right. on making sure it's firmly in place.
Exactly. Okay. And that's what makes necessity causality so empowering.
Right.
It gives us a framework
yeah.
for taking control of our outcomes by understanding and addressing those fundamental necessities.
So as we wrap up this deep dive into necessity causality,
yeah.
I encourage you to think about your own goals.
Mm-hmm.
And challenges
right.
through this new lens.
Through this new lens, yeah.
What are the must-haves in your life?
Mm-hmm.
What are the bottlenecks
yeah.
that might be holding you back?
Mm-hmm.
And once you identify them,
yeah.
what can you do to ensure those essential conditions are met?
It all starts with awareness.
Right.
Yeah.
Remember,
yeah.
it's not about finding quick fixes or magic bullets. It's about developing a deeper understanding
right.
of the underlying dynamics of success and failure.
Right.
It's about taking a proactive approach to shaping your own destiny.
I love that. Yeah.
I think that's a great note to end on.
I agree.
If you're interested in exploring necessity causality further, we've included some great resources in the show notes. Until next time. Keep diving deep, and remember, sometimes the most important thing are the ones we often overlook.
Very true.